It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The Biden administration's long-planned approach to cryptocurrency gets a new push at a time that digital money could be used by Russia to skirt international sanctions. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Biden is expected to issue an executive order on its strategy toward cryptocurrency as soon as this week. There's new urgency at a time of Russian sanctions. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now with details.
Well, this executive order would involve a number of government agencies, and I should say this was first reported by Bloomberg. Bloomberg says those agencies will be asked to look at potential regulations on cryptocurrency and what kind of impact they would have on the economy and national security. Agencies would have to report back later this year, and we could see a broad range of departments involved here, including the EPA, which could look into the environmental impact. Crypto mining, for example, takes a lot of energy.
And what about the Federal Reserve?
It's studying whether there should be a digital dollar, specifically whether it would be technically feasible and how it would work. A study from the Boston Fed says it would be feasible, but this is all very preliminary.
And to be clear, this emerging policy would not just be about Russia.
Right. And this executive order has been in the works for a while, but the administration is watching Russia. The director of the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network says he hasn't seen widespread use of crypto to evade the sanctions, but he's calling for prompt reporting of suspicious activity.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Crude oil traded in New York is at about $123 a barrel, near its 14-year high right now. At the pump, if you don't adjust for inflation, we're seeing the highest average price recorded in America, but you do have to adjust for inflation, so we're not quite at the all-time high yet. We must tell you that drawing from history, big oil shocks have often preceded recessions. Marketplace's Samantha Fields looks at the connection.
Let's go back for a minute to 1973. When the U.S. supported Israel in the Arab-Israeli War, Arab countries and OPEC imposed an oil embargo against the U.S. and other countries, which caused oil prices to soar, says Michael Klein at Tufts University's Fletcher School.
The increase in oil prices led to it becoming much more expensive to purchase a range of things, much more expensive to produce things, much more expensive to heat your home or to fill the gas tank in your car.
And that contributed to a recession. Today, Klein says, in the U.S.,
we've moved away from the level of oil dependence that we had back in the early 1970s, but it's still a very important factor in the economy.
Because oil goes into almost everything, whether you see it or not.
It's an input to a lot of stuff that we make, and that's where the real sort of spillover effect happens.
Joanne Weiner is an economics professor at the George Washington University. She says oil is such a big part of how so many things are produced and transported that when the price goes up,
that puts pressure on retail prices going up, leading the Fed to say inflation is too high. We better cut it back, raise interest rates. Businesses say, oh, we can't afford to borrow anymore. Oh, we better stop investing. And then boom, you now have your slowdown in economic growth.
There's also another factor at play, and that's expectations. In economic downturns, Weiner says,
a lot of what happens depends upon what people expect to happen.
That's why Robert Johnston at Columbia's Center on Global Energy Policy says the measure he's looking at is,
what price does retail gasoline in the U.S. need to get to put the U.S. into a recession?
And with gas prices rising so fast,
I think we have some real risk of sort of an inflation-led and consumer confidence-led recession.
But Johnston says there are things the government could do, like pass another stimulus package, that might blunt the effect of higher gas prices. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
All right. The Dow has now entered what's euphemistically called a correction, odd, since that implies the price was somehow wrong before. That means, correction, that means down 10% from a recent high. Yesterday, the index closed down 797 points, 2.4%. The S&P fell nearly 3% yesterday, the biggest one-day drop there since the fall of 2020. The NASDAQ yesterday closed down 3.6%. Now, this morning, stock index futures are pointing up a bit. Dow future up 91 points, 0.3%. S&P futures up 0.3% as well. Money is coming back out of bonds now, with the U.S. 10-year interest rate up at 1.84%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Visa and MasterCard will suspend operations in Russia by this Thursday. Now, that won't necessarily stop people within Russia from using their cards. Those transactions are processed through an internal system tied to the central bank in Moscow. So this move could hit Russians who have left the country the hardest. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has that.
90% of payment cards outside China run on Visa or MasterCard's networks, so this is a big deal, says Lisa Ellis, a partner and payments analyst at MoffittNathanson. The Russian local processor called Mir
doesn't have all of the more sophisticated capabilities, so they may not be able to be used online.
And definitely not for international transactions. For those, she says, Russian banks may have to partner with the only non-U.S. payment system, China's UnionPay, which
so far, historically, has had very little issuance outside of China.
The biggest problems will be for those with Russian cards who are outside the country, which isn't just wealthy tourists, says Daniel Treisman, a Russian politics expert at UCLA.
There are literally hundreds of independent journalists and activists who've had to leave the country either very recently or over the preceding year.
And they would have problems getting their money out of Russia after the Kremlin banned it last week. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
So a lot going on in the global economy. Listen for updates later today with my colleague Kai Ryssdal. I'm David Brancaccio. We're from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.